Today's daf is daf Chof Zayin, and we are still in the middle of pursuing the source of Ula's Ma'amar. According to Ula, you have a distance of 16 amot of Yinika v'Ilan, so that if an Ilan is within 16 amot of the next door field, then it does not bring Bikurim, because it doesn't satisfy the requirement of Me'artzaka. It isn't yours. It grew from somebody else's field. Now, we've been looking around for a Makar. First, we took a look at the din of Eser Netiot. And we showed that Ula, if we analyze his 16 Amot, and we're pretending that it's a square, so that it would be 32 Amot on a side, we end up with 1,024 Amot, square Amot. And we saw that Eser Netiot, Betoch Beit Sa, is only 250 square amot per sapling. Okay, so we recognize that that's because it's a sapling and he's talking about a fully grown ilan. So we moved on to discuss the din of three ilanot betoch beit sa'ah to turn it into a stay ilan legabe the dinim of Erev Shvius, so that you would be allowed to continue to plow that area up all the way until Shavuos, instead of pretending that it's only a stay tvuah, a stay lavan, which would allow you only till Pesach. Now, even though that got a lot closer to the value that Ula gave us, it still didn't work out, because Ula's was 250, and over here we came out, it was 1,024, and over here we came out with 833. So we said, well, you know, maybe he's not being all that careful to take into consideration a square. So he just gave you an approximation of 16. The problem is that not to be careful where it brings a kula, so that you end up not bringing Bikurim, you can't say Lodak. You can only say Lodak Lachumra. So that was our problem. And today, as I mentioned yesterday, we go on to recognize that obviously it was a ridiculous oversimplification to say that when he said 16 amot, we should pretend that that's a square that is 32 amot on each side. Why would we say that? It's a circle with a radius of 16 amot. That's all that it meant. So what we really needed to do was multiply now the radius squared by pi, and that way we would get the actual number of amot that Ula requires, square amot. Now, the thing is, of course, that lahalacha, we don't need to be medayik in pi beyond the value of 3, which makes it very easy. In other words, we view a circle as being a three-sided square. So if you view a circle as being a three-sided square, then for all intents and purposes, all we need to do is deduct one quarter of the number of square amot that we had when it was a square, and then we'll get the correct number that Ula was relying on. So this is where we're up to now. Says the Gemara now, on the end of the fifth line, on Chof Zayin Omid Aleph, Mi Savrat Beribua Kamridan? Why did you think that we were talking about a square? We were talking, obviously, about an Igula Kamridan. We're talking about now a circle that is built around this tree that has a radius of 16. That's exactly what Ula said. Okay, says the Gemara, so what does that work out to now? Kama Meruba Yoter Ala Igul. How many more square amot do we get in a square that has a 16 to each direction, in other words, each side being 32 amot? The circle that is that diameter is really going to be 1/4 less, assuming that pi is 3. So then we now deduct 1/4. So if we deduct 1/4 from the 1,024, pashalosh vamea v'shitin v'tmanya, that gives us 768. So that means that what Ula was doing is he was giving us a shear that was a great deal larger, really, than the amount that, a great deal smaller, really, that was than the amount that we analyzed, which was 833 1/3, which, of course, isn't quite true, because over there also, but approximately. So there we were talking about within an entire Beit Sa'ah. Now, the truth is that if we analyze the real value of pi, we see that it's extremely close, because it comes out to above 804, which is very close to the 833. It's so close that the tiniest amount above the 16 would already have made it that we're being makel, because then he would be giving too much of a space to be mat to the Bikurim. So therefore, what he did was, is he took the closest reasonable value that he could. He said that it was 16 amot. Okay, that's 768 as opposed to 833, but it's really 804 as opposed to 833.
When you multiply pi by radius, that gives you the area or the circumference?
Pi squared.
Oh, pi squared.
No, radius squared, right, times pi gives you the square amot. the area. So therefore, you now have a little bit of an extra bit. So akati pashle palga de amata, you still have, it's really 16.25, which is 32.5. So you're left with a half an amma off. But that's not really true. Because as I said, if you take the real value of pi, this is about as close as you can get. So hainu de lo dak. And that's what we're saying, that Ula was not being precise when he spoke about the radius, but it was l'chumra lo dak, because what he's saying is, look, you could be certain that you don't need to be mevi if you've got 16. The truth is, you may also not have to be mevi if there's a little more. Now, the truth is also, as Tosfos points out, but wait a minute, I mean, there's also a kula in that. Because by saying 16, so then you're saying that if it were 16 plus, so then you would be mevi. Problem is, if you're mevi, the bikurim become potter from trumas and maisers. So how can you part the trumas and maisers, which is a kula? Right, so this Tosfos points out that he didn't say that you're absolutely chayev on more than 16. He just said 16, you can be sure. Then you're going to have to go out and to analyze whether lamaisa it is putter or it isn't putter. Okay, that's a different issue. But I could certainly give you a shear in which you can get away with needing to worry about it. And 16, it's vadai going to be yoneh from the next door field. So now we have an understanding of Ula and where Ula got his din from, and everything is fine. Tashma, let's see whether the din is even correct, though. Hakone ilan v'karkao, mevi v'kore. Now, over here it says if you buy a tree and the associated ground of the tree, so then you would have to bring bikurim, and you'd even be chayev to bikurim parshat bikurim, which means that it's not mitzat suffik. It's definitely considered to be mi'artzecha. The Mishnah does not require a particular amount. It just says if you bought the actual real estate and not just the rights to the tree. So my lav kosho, I mean, it seems to be saying that any amount of ground is all right because you are bringing the fruit of the earth that you own. And despite the fact that it's clearly going to be getting nutrients from outside of the little circle of the tree itself, it's not considered to be a gazlan, and you are allowed to take it. Says the Gemara, well, obviously, Ula is going to understand that the Mishnah is based on the fundamental understanding of karka'o being the karka required. The karka required is 16 amot in each direction. So how can you prove it from a Mishnah that just isn't addressing karka'o? Leaves it up to you. Toshma, kanash Neilanot betok shachaveiro mevi veino kore hashlosha mevi vekore. So here it says if you are a purchaser and you buy two ilanot in somebody else's field, so then you don't have the rights to the karka. Lamais, it says over there beferish, if you buy three, you do. But as Tosfos says, very often we're medayik instead of moving on to the next piece. You can just be medayik directly for the first piece, even if it says it beferish. Okay, but if you buy three, then you're given the rights to the associated real estate. And that's understood to be the meaning of the contract. So if you buy two, the Gemara later on is going to say there's really a suffix involved. So you should be maybe just don't be kore on those bikurim, because you can't really honestly say that these are bikurim that I'm being maybe. But mashma, and of course it says it beferish, that if you would have bought three, you would be maybe v'kore. Now it doesn't say over here that you were given the karka of 16 amod. It just says that you own the real estate, whatever that is. So my lav kosho. No. It's talking about Shishisrayama. It's talking about that there is sufficient real estate that's given to you, together with the trees, for the anika of those trees, so that you don't bump into another person's territory until you go beyond the 16 amot level. Tashma, Rabbi Akiva Omer, karka kosho, the slightest amount of real estate that is growing things on it, is chayav in peya, chayav in bikurim. Chayav in bikurim. That's exactly what Ula said. You're not chayav in bikurim, the slightest amount, because it would have to be 32 amot. How could it possibly be chayav in bikurim? So Rabbi Akiva is saying the opposite of Ula. Vikot vimalav prusbul, and you'll remember that a prusbul can be written as the takana vilel if you are owed money. So you can give over the rights for the beidin, and it's as if it should be considered collected, and then you're not going to be over on the lo yigos. And the only time that we made that takana was on a standard loan, and people generally will not make a loan if they don't have from where to collect it. And therefore, there needs to be some real estate that would be leaned for the loan. In which case, if there's no real estate, then there was never a takana of prusbul on that particular loan. However, says Rabbi Akiva, it's not necessary to have real estate that actually covers the loan. Loans for someone who owns some property, even though it's kosher, are going to be covered by the takana of prusbul. Okay. So it works with the principle. And niknini manechasim she'in lehem achrayut, just like any other real estate, you can effectuate a kinyan on chattel, on metaltalin, together automatically with a kinyan on real estate, despite the fact that you don't do anything at all to become the metaltalin. You know, don't do a kinyan of meshicha, you don't do agabah, nothing at all. It's somewhere else, but it's considered to be subsidiary to the main kinyan, which is the real estate. Now, it says over here, that the only part that interests us, of course, in this sugi, is the bikurim. It says bikurim, any real estate, even koshu, who is sufficient to be b'chai of you, despite the fact that the nutrients would have to be coming from outside, and according to Ula, you don't bring bikurim if nutrients are coming from outside of the area that you want. Says the Gemara, how come I skin a bechiti? Who said we're talking about trees? It says you bring bikurim. You bring bikurim from tefuah also. So if you have a stock of wheat that's growing in your minuscule real estate, you'd be chayav to bring bikurim. That's all he's saying. And the wheat, even on the maisa, we say that there's a dinner shlosha tefachim, but as Tosis points out, the ikur, just like the ilan has an ikur, so by ilan we said 25 amot, but we only said 16 was the nourishment. So by the chita, directly beneath the plant is the main area of the nutrition, and because of that, you would be chayav because you own that area. And that must be what it's talking about. By the way, says the Gemara. Deganami, I mean, obviously it's got to be talking about that. Because otherwise, how in the world could kolshu be enough for a tree? I mean, we've got to be talking about something that will fit in kolshu, so it's barely measurable. So we're only talking about something the size of one stalk. Okay, so it's got to be talking about chita, if it says you're chayvim bikurim. Otherwise, it's something of a joke. Shmamina, indeed, that is the meaning of Rabbi Akiva. And therefore, it's irrelevant to Ula. So maybe enochinami, if you're talking about a piece of real estate that has a tree in it, you really do need sufficient to nourish that tree in all directions. Toshma. Okay, let's see if we can bring a raya from here. Ilan miktzato ba'aretz miktzato b'chutz la'aretz. What if you have a tree that is planted right on the border between Eretz Yisrael and Chutz La'aretz? So now part of that tree is being nourished in Eretz Yisrael, and therefore it should be chayav in trumot and masro. Part of the tree is being nourished in Chutz La'aretz, and therefore it should be patur from trumot to masro. But what we view is the tree as an organic entity, and you have teva v'chulin mu'uravim zebezed divered. So you have throughout the tree a partial chiyav of trumot to masro. Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel Omer, no, take a line, separate the tree according to where the roots are separated, and agadel b'chiyuv chayav, and agadel b'patur patur. So the part that can be seen as directly above roots in Chutz La'aretz is patur. The other part is chayav. But look, ad kan lo plige, elo de mar savar yesh bereira, o mar savar ein bereira. The only machlokus over here is whether, of course, this is a borrowed term, yesh bereira, has nothing to do with the sugya of retroactive definitions. We're just saying that one man diomar holds that you can actually draw a line through a tree and define which roots nourish which part of the tree. And the other man diomar holds you can't. That's the machlokus Rebbe and Reb Shimon Gamliel. But had we had the entire tree in Chutz La'aretz, then nobody would have discussed it. Why? Let's say the tree is right outside of the border. It's got 16 amot, according to Ula, where it's being nourished from Eretz Yisrael anyway. So it should be irrelevant where I see the tree poised. What's important to me is whether it's within 16 amot of being nourished in Eretz Yisrael. So then you see from here clearly that nobody holds that we take a look at any area other than the roots that are under the tree. And we don't consider the nourishment from the side to be nogeya la'alocha, not bikurim and not trumot u'masrot. So how could Ula argue with both Rebbe and Reb Shimon Gamliel? So you see from here that atkan lo pligei la demar sova yesh breira umar sova ein breira. But as far as the question of whether it would literally grow in the area that was potter, everybody holds it would be potter. We don't look to anything outside. Avogadel biftur, divriyako patur, nobody would have said that it's chayef. Says the Gemara Chumamayaskina, what we're talking about over here is where mafsik tsunma. It's not that there were roots that happened to be growing on different sides. It's that you have solid granite that is dividing between the border. On one side you have Chutz La'aretz, on one side you have Eretz Yisrael. The roots are completely separated to the different sides. And had indeed the tree been moved completely outside of Eretz Yisrael, there would be no way for the roots to penetrate the granite anyway. So there wouldn't have been any kind of nourishment from Eretz Yisrael. But enochinami, if you get it, I mean, the only way we can have a machlokas like this is in a laboratory situation where we artificially actually distinguish the roots from one side on the other side. But if it's in a natural setting, so of course you'll never find such a case. We're trying to define the theory. Okay, so for the theory, we took a case of tsunma. So therefore, well, obviously, they're not going to discuss the tree being on one side or another because it's irrelevant in the laboratory situation that we set up with tsunma. So forget about that. So the machloket over there, but Michael Mifs, okay, Mar Sava. If there really is a complete division of the root systems, so what was Rebbe saying? I mean, shouldn't it be really? I mean, I thought Rebbe was saying that, well, you can't, I mean, just because it's positioned in different locations doesn't mean it doesn't spread out all over. But now that you're saying that there's granite in the middle, it really doesn't spread out all over. Says Gemara, no. Rebbe wasn't talking about a machlokus about whether roots spread. That wasn't the issue. Rebbe was simply saying that even where you have completely isolated root systems, the organism as a whole is nourished by every element of the roots, no matter where they are. And therefore, my time at a Rebbe, da hadre arve, because basically once they go into the tree itself, so then it's all one tree. In which case, the machlokas says, but Michael Miflege, marsavar avira mebabel, marsavar hailuchudekoi, the machlokas therefore is whether the root system feeds directly into the part of the tree to which it's attached, or whether there is a mechanism for circulation in the tree of the entire nourishments that are coming in. That's the question. But as far as the issue of whether Lamaisa, had we known that it was being nourished, that it would be chayiv, so of course it would be chayiv. And therefore this is irrelevant to Ula. Okay, says the Gemara. So let's assume now that Ula is right. But 16 Amot is not consistent with our whole parrot, right? Because all along we've been saying, in order to avoid root damage, you need 25 amot. So, I mean, that's a very practical bottom line. It means that we know that 25 amot is a standard for root damage in another property. So how does he get 16? Es the Gemara v'sheish esrei amot v'tulo. But now, I mean, didn't we start this whole sugya off by saying, marchikine ta'ilan min abor esrim v'chamish ama? I thought it was 25. Look, we're talking about two different issues. You're talking about how far a root system will spread? Of course it'll spread. I mean, they're mizel tuvas. The roots could keep spreading and spreading. That's not the issue. The question is, where is the central nourishment coming from? That's the only question we're interested in. So what Ula was talking about is the question of whether it's drawing nutrition from the land that it's in. Akushi lo makashe elachesis reyama. It's only drawing down the nourishment. So whatever nutrients are in the ground within that space, that's the area that it's going to weaken the ground, which means that that's the area that it's actually being nourished from, which has implications. Legabe, shumot u'masrot, bikurim, and so on and so forth. But as far as Hezek is concerned, Hezek couldn't care about the hakashon. Hezek is interested in the actual damage that roots will cause your pipes and your cisterns and so on. So there, in Achinami, we have a different measurement. Kiyata Rav Dimi Omar, when Rav Dimi arrived back from Eretz Yisrael, so he said, "Boy, mine Reish Lakish, Rabbi Yochanan," that Reish Lakish actually asked Rabbi Yochanan this question. Given that the Ilan is able to draw nourishment, so then Ilana Samuchlo Mitzar B'Toch Shesh Esrei Ama Mavu. What would be the din in terms of Bikurim if it's within 16 Amot of a Mitzar, since it's drawing nutrition from the other ground? Amar Lei, and Rabbi Yochanan told him, "Indeed, it is Gazlanu Ve'in Meviu Mimenu Bikurim," which is exactly what Ula said, ki ata ravin, but when ravin came, he said that what Rabbi Yochanan actually paskened is that echad ilan ha-samuch la-mitzar, v'echad ilan ha-noteh, makes absolutely no difference whether the ilan is drawing nutrition through its roots or by having its leaves over another person's rishus. It is not considered to be a violation of Arzacha, or according to the other sheet, a violation of Gizela, and it would be maybe, it would actually be kore. Why? Because this was one of the tna'im that Yerushata Aretz was given, according to. So, Amenatkin Yitzhul Yehoshua Yisrael at Aretz. If that's the case, then, Tosfos says Lashitato, it means that the Nakla itself incorporates the rights for your trees to be Yonek from the next door. But then that means that when you're saying Aretzecha, It doesn't have to be that this is what's registered in the land authority. It has to be that this is what was given to you, Benachala, to use. So this was what was given to be Benachala at the time of the Nachala. Yoshua actually gave it as a Nachala. And that, of course, would be the only Tanai that would have been Meyo, according to the Pshai. See, if you tell me it's a Din Gezela. So then we could have had a Takanat Beit Din at any time. Okay, it's not considered to be Gezela, we're all going to be Mavater, it's Bechila, whatever. But if the problem is it's not Artzacha, which is the way Tosfos learned, there would be no other way out of this except that it should be a Tnai and Nachala, because then it is considered to be Artzacha. And that indeed is the way Tosfos understands the Gemara, that it's Dafka, a Tnai in Yoshua's Hanchalat Haaretz.
Why is it enough that Rov is Artzacha?
What?
Why is it enough that Rov is Artzacha?
Why should it be?
As the
You're bringing something that didn't grow in Artzacha. That's not what the Bikurim is Bechaya deal. No, you want to bring your first fruits, not things that are coming from elsewhere. Yes, but over here the whole point of the Bikurim is that you're showing what it is that your earth did. Your earth couldn't have done it. I mean, it's like, clearly, it's sort of like asking for Hanukkah, why not be Mekel and Tumah? Why not say we should use Shem and Tameh? That's the famous Kotzker Teret. You don't make a holiday with a chinuch of the Beis HaMikdash using Shem and Tameh. It's all very nice to say that it's mutter, but this is not what you present as your Chanukah San Mizbeach. Obviously, for Bikurim, you're going to take something that is, well, it's sort of artsy, you know. That's not the point of the Bikurim. You're whispering. Oh, no, it's on before, on Amid Beis, the Gazlan, on Chavav. Where is our president when we need him? Zok Eilek HaMishnah, Ilan, Shehu Noteh Listei Chaviro, Kotzitz Melo HaMardea Agabe HaMacharisha. So now we have another issue. Now we have questions not about roots, but about branches that are troublesome. So somebody's got a tree next door, and the tree has overgrown now the boundaries, hanging over my field, and I want to be able to pass easily without bumping into somebody else's branches. I can cut down the branches that will prevent me from driving by with my plow, including the mardea, which is the cattle prod that I have, which is high. I don't want to bump into any branches. That I have a right to do. Ubecharuv, uveshikma. When you're talking about carob and sycamore, now we all, or other trees that are very thick, Richie, that are very thick leaves and branched. Over there I have another problem. They don't allow enough sunlight to get through for my field, and over there, I can simply cut them down, keneged hamashkolet. All I can do is set up a plumb line at the border and cut with my saw straight along the plumb line. I'm not mechuyev to have any type of shading that's going to prevent growth. That's not about passing by. Beit HaShalchin. Now, if you're talking about a Beit HaShalchin, which is an irrigated field, so then the need for sunlight is much higher, because the higher water content means it's going to be soaking there, unless it's properly evaporating. For that, I need sun to take care of all of this. And it's assumed that the entire field is going to be exposed to the same sun. I could take kolilan. Whatever's growing over the border, I would take along the mashkolet, along a plumb line. Abba Sha'ul Omer, kolilan srak, can I get a mashkolet? Now, this is not clear what he means. Is he saying, no, not every tree, only a non-fruit tree, you could do that too? Or is he saying, in the previous case, where you say that you can cut down only carob and sycamore, he's saying, look, any tree that's not bearing fruit, you can cut down. So is this a kula or is this a chumra? That's not clear. Yes, Abba, pleasure to hear your voice again.
Yep. His tree.
To cut.
On his property. Cut.
No, my property.
I know, but if the tree's on his property, the branches are my property.
You got to climb up on a ladder. He could keep you off of his property.
That's right. So you can't go on his tree.
What again is the reason why Beit HaShalchin they could cut?
Beit HaShalchin requires full sunlight.
Why?
Because you're watering. You're watering taking into consideration the whole field, which means that you're assuming a certain level of evaporation and processing of the carbon dioxide and so on. For that, you're going to need to have energy. Iboilu. So that, of course, is the Gemara's immediate question. Was Abishol referring back to the Reisha? And he was saying, now, it's not only Charuv v'Shikma. You could cut down any tree if it isn't a fruit tree, even though it's not a Charuv and a Shikma, you don't have to be Makbid. So that means he's being Mekel. Or is he saying in the Seifa, where the Tanakama said, you can cut down the kolilan kenegad hamashkolet, even fruit trees. And he's saying, no, let's not overdo it over here. If it's not a fruit-bearing tree, then you can cut it down. Which one did he mean? Toshma, it's clear what he means. Take a look at the Braita. D'tanya Beit HaShalchin, Abba Sha'ul Omer, kolilan kenegad hamashkolet, b'mnei sha'tzel, ra'la Beit HaShalchin. Here he says beferush. He was referring back to the case of irrigated fields, and he was saying any tree that is not fruit-bearing can be cut down because itself is not good for a Beit HaShlachim. So Shema Mina, he was being makel. He was going back on the ratio. Shema Mina in the Hinam. Omer Rav Ashi, you really don't need to get to a braita. All you need to do is read carefully. Take a look at the language of our Mishnah. Matniti namidaika. Diktani kol ilan srak. Now what does kol ilan srak mean? You don't use the word kol unless you're being expansive. If you're coming to limit, what do you say? Kol ilan srak. You say ilan srak, right? So bishlema aresha koi. If you're going to tell me that he's saying, no, not only charuva sikma, kol ilan srak. The language makes sense. So then, indeed, Diktoni kol ilan. And Leonard the Sefer Koy. If he's going on the Sefer with the Tanakama, was saying kol ilan, and he needs to limit it to ilan no tzrak. So he say kol ilan tzrak. I mean, there's no point in saying, what are you paraphrasing the Tanakama? You need to paraphrase the Tanakama. So all he needed to do was say ilan tzrak, me boy. Elalav shmamina reisha koy shmamina. It's clear from the Mishnah itself that he's going back on the reisha. You're just in time, dear President. You'll have to do it again if I answer you. He's being most from the Tanakama anything besides Charuva Shikma. But to Nilan Srak. What do you mean? He says Charuva Shikma, not Kol Ilan Srak. Ilan, Shohuno Tel Rishut Rabim. Now, up until now, we were talking about an ilan that was nota over a private field. So we said, okay, you have a right to make sure that you can get your plow past there. But if it's hanging over a public road, so then kotzeitz kedeshiye gamal over verochvo. There you cut a lot more than what you would have cut in your own field. Over there, we give you room for a camel, or whatever the means of transportation is. You know, if it's an 18-wheeler, so it would have to be an 18-wheeler camel. And it would have enough that there was a rochev also on the back of the camel. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, it's a gamal ta'un pishtan or chavilei zmurot. It would be a camel that was fully loaded with flax, which takes up a tremendous amount of space, or with branches, which also is large. It's not clear. Is that bigger than the gamal or smaller? That the Gemara is going to talk about. Rabbi Shimon Omer, you got another problem. You've only been talking about needing to cut in order for people to pass freely under. But how about the other problem? You've got people going under this tree, not realizing that there are branches there. And there may be a problem with Tum'ah, in which they didn't even realize that they had passed by an area that had Tum'ah Tamet under it for the past 100 feet. They didn't pay any attention. So there you cut the entire thing that is hanging over Kedeged HaMashkolet. It's a plumb line again, and the reason for that is Mipnei Atuma. But what's interesting about all these cases is that they're very ad hoc. Ad hoc. So they're very ad hoc because it's all very nice to cut it down today. What's going to happen tomorrow? I mean, once you're cutting, I mean, couldn't you cut enough so that it's not going to be a problem next week? I mean, so obviously the Mishnah is saying in all of these cases, you go according to the current situation and you don't say, well, we don't need to have a problem next week. We're gonna act now precipitously to avoid all of the issues that are coming up. So man tana de benizakin batar umdana dahash tazlina. Who is the tana that makes it clear that he holds that you look at current damages and not at upcoming damages? Omer Reish Lakish, the truth is that is a machloket, and it's only going aliba de Rabbi Eliezer. Be machloket shnuyav Rabbi Eliezer. The tanan, I say that it's a machloket that is basically listed later on in a Mishnah. Ein osin halal. You cannot dig under a Shutar Abim, Borot, Shechinu, Me'arot, even though it's covered, but you're just asking for trouble. One of these days, that subway tunnel is going to collapse. I mean, eventually, everything collapses. So therefore, you got to worry about the eventuality. Rabbi Eliezer Matir, Rabbi Eliezer says, look, as long as you can have a fully loaded 18-wheeler with stones rolling over it and nothing's going to collapse, then you don't have to worry. So, b'chdei shetei agalah ma'alechet tu'unat avanim, if it's not going to collapse, then it's strong enough. Now, what do you mean strong enough? How about 100 years from now? I mean, it's eventually going to start getting worn down. I mean, it's wood. It's going to be eaten. I mean, how can you rely on that? So, you see from here that Rebbe Eliezer says, look, basically, you can't deal with the future. You deal with what you got today. And then you go, and if there's a problem in the future, you can make sure that you take care of it in a proper amount of time. But you don't have to worry about forever today.
Not too late.
You go ahead and you examine it, obviously. Make sure it isn't too late. But whatever is immediate sakana, doesn't mean it's already collapsed. But if it's an immediate sakana, so then you take care of it. Rabbi Yochanan says, no, it is not b'machloket shnuya. Everybody is agreed. There's a special case, which is the subway tunnel. Not really a subway tunnel, but a small me'ara. There, the Rabbanan argue. But generally speaking, there really wouldn't be a machlokes. Afilu tema Rabbanan. The Rabbanan also are going to agree in our case that you only deal with the overhanging branches today. The reason that they say over there you can't even dig a tunnel like this is because who's going to notice? That's the problem. And then indeed it may be too late. So if people are walking by, okay, so as soon as there's a problem, someone's going to cut it. But if you're talking about a me'ara underneath the Rishut HaRabim, who exactly are you relying on to keep checking that it's not going to collapse? The guys that are going to come around from the area, good luck. So therefore, unless they can get you on taxes, but certainly they're not going to find something that's dangerous. So therefore, when it comes to the me'ara, the Chachamim said, look, you can't do something relying on fixing it later. Who's going to rely on whom? Therefore, there they argue. But in our Mishnah, the problem is an evident problem, so it'll be taken care of in time. But you don't have a right to act in advance, perhaps. So we have a machlokas, therefore, Reish Lakish, Rabbi Yochanan, as to whether it's really a machloket, whether you can act ahead of time, or whether it's everybody's shita. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, continue the Mishnah. So Rabbi Yehuda says that actually the shear is not a camel and its rider. It's a camel that is loaded down with pishtanach and vilei zmurot, which take up a lot of space. Iboilo. So what does that mean? Is shear the Rabbi Yehuda nafish or the shear the Rabbanan nafish? Well, which one is the bigger shear? I mean, I don't know. Is it a camel and a rider? Does the rider stick up more than the chavilei zmurot or not? Well, it's obvious, isn't it? It's pshita to shear the Rabbanan nafish. It's got to be that the Rabbanan shear of the rider is going to allow you to cut off more branches. Because Yitzhak is the shear of the Rabbi Yehuda nafish. If Rabbi Yehuda is larger than the Rabbanan, so then what the heck did the Rabbanan do with a case when a loaded camel is going to come by? I mean, obviously they have to take into consideration every normal eventuality. So it's certainly a normal eventuality to have a gamel ton pishta. So how could they have given a shear that doesn't cover a gamel ton pishta? So Yitzhak Adaylach shear the Rabbi Yehuda nafish, Rabbanim shear the Rabbi Yehuda echiyavit. What did they suggest you do when you're driving by a gamel that's ton pishta? What? So that you say that the other way too, no? I mean, to Ella Maish, you're the Rabbanan Nafish. It's the same question. So what's Rabbi Yehuda going to do when you're trying to drive by on your camel? What do you mean? Duck. I mean, what are you supposed to do with a load full of pishta and zimurov? But if you're coming and you see branches hanging down, just duck. So the question is whether you have a right to cut, because I don't feel like ducking, or whether you can duck. But there's not going to be any solution for trying to get by when you've got an overloaded camel. So therefore, there's only one way of reading the Mishnah. And that is that Rabbi Shimon is saying that you're mechuyev to duck, and therefore we take a lower shear. And the Rabban is saying, no, we can cut whatever it is that we need to make things convenient. So let's just see that inside. V'yala mai shear the Rabban and nafish. So what would Rabbi Yehuda b'shear the Rabban and mayave? Probably zef should the gachin v'cholif to take. Guy could always duck and get under it anyway. But a mai shear, what's he supposed to do? Unload his camel in order to get by your tree? Rabbi Shimon Omer, kol ha'ilan k'neged ha'mashkolet b'pnei ha'tum'ah. You could cut down the entire area of the tree that is over the road, and just like a plumb line, because you've got a problem of tum'ah. And in the Brayta that explains, m'pnei ohel ha'tum'ah. A problem is not directly tum'ah, but because the tree creates a situation where you'll be passing under an ohel, and you won't realize it. Well, obviously. Pshita, I understand what... Of course, that's what it means, mipnei ohel ha'tum'ah. I mean, otherwise, what's a tree nogei ha'tum'ah? It says in the Mishnah, mipnei ha'tum'ah. I know how to read. No. Imi matnitin. Let's say I wouldn't have had this expansion in the Brayta. There's another way of understanding mipnei ha'tum'ah. Because I would have understood that the issue is not the tum'ah, is the thickness of the leaves that you're passing under. Mipnei ha'tum'ah is the old crow problem. which Rabbi Yosef is so sensitive to. And the crow problem is, as anybody in the Rovo has a roof discovers very rapidly, is that crows have a tendency to drop pieces of carrion all over the place. And so, maybe the issue over there is that they'll bring tumah, leaving it on one of the branches above your head, but not because the tree is overhanging tumah. So who cares, you'll say. What do you mean? It's a big difference. Because then it would be sufficient, that it's perhaps the problem over here is the crows that throw maybe the sarmen ameper, in which case, sage bedakluli bialma, all I would need to do now here, Tosfos brings the correct girsa as being the modern Hebrew word for a scarecrow, which is dakhlili. So then all you need to do is put up a scarecrow. Right? So a dakhlil, it comes from dakhila, which is fear, so that it would be that which causes fear to a bird. It's a dakhlil, and then the orev won't come. So I would have thought that maybe that would be sufficient. Therefore, I need to be told, no, we still have a chashash of tuma. Tosfos says, because even in his dachlil, when the bird notices the dachlil, it may drop the tuma and squawk. Okay, or you could say that the problem is whether something was under the tree. That's the way Rashi understands it. But Rashi's girsa is dachluli, which is a lotion of making halalim, meaning thinning the branches. So I thin the branches enough that they won't support something above them. That ought to be sufficient. Now that I tell you it's been olatuma, that something could be on the ground under the branches, thinning is not the solution. And therefore I need to know that I can cut it completely. So Dilma my Dirtum Kamash Malan, that would be insufficient. Hadran alak lo yachpor. I don't know, he just kicks in at the last second here. Cheska tabatim va'borot. We will begin, Bezrat Hashem, tomorrow. And Arab Rosh Hashanah.
How did the Gemara get to the Gemara
figure out? Mi sabet beribua kamrin and mi gula kamrin and michti. Kama merubah yeter alei gul revia. Poshel ushva mea vishitim etmanya. So akate pashli pagal di amta. Hainu de lo dak, velo chumra lo dak. Toshma. Hakone ilan vekarka o me vi vikore. Now, karka o is mash vakoshu, no? No. It means sheshitre amma. Toshma. Kana shnei ilanot betok shel chavero me vi veinu kore. Hashlosha me vi vikore. My love, koshu. No, hachanami sheshitre amma. Toshma, Rabbi Akiva omer. Karka koshu chayav vipeya ube bikurim. Oh boy, oh boy. Vekotvim alav puzbul. Yeah, but by the way, what else did you think? Deganamik, that it koshu. There's no room for a tree in koshu. Shema amina. Toshma, ilan miktato ba'aret u'miktato b'chutz la'aret. Teva v'chulin muravim ze b'zeh divrei Rebbe. Reb Shimon Gamliel omer, no, hagadel b'chiyuv chayav, hagadel b'ptur patur. So ad kan lo pligi ela demar sover yesh brera o mar sover ein brera. Aval, god al biptur, totally, the record would be put. Ach, ma eskina, and the baf sik tzudba, yochi my time of the Rebbe, the hadri arve. But my kamiflage, mar sover avira mival bel, u mar sover hai luku de koi, vai luku de koi. Vishesh esre ama vetulo, vatnan marchikine ta ilan min abor esrima chamesh ama. Omrabaye mezel tuva asli. The problem is akushi lo makshi ela cheshes reama. Tve lo makshi. Ki otter of dimi omrabaye mine rishlokish mirab yochna. Ilana samuch la meitzar betok cheshes reama mahu. Omale gazlanu ve mevime mine bikurim. Ki otter rovin omrab yochnan. Echad ilana samuch la meitzar. Vechad ilana note mevive koresh. Amenat kenin chil Yoshua li Yisrael. Eta aret. Ilan shunotel estecha viro kotzitz vlo amardea agabea machrisha. Uvecharu vishikma keneged amashkolet. Beta shlachin kola ilan keneged amashkolet. Aba sholomer kol ilan srak keneged amashkolet. Or kol ilan srak keneged amashkolet. We'll see which way to read it. Iboilu. Aba shaul areisha koi o asefa koi. Toshma. Tetanya beta shlachin. Aba Shaul omer, kol ha'ilan keneged ha'mashkolet, b'nei shat seora lebet ha'shlachim, shema mina ha'resha koi, shema mina. Om revashi matniti nami daika. Dektoni kol ilan srak. So now what's this kol? I amet bishlema ha'resha koi, hainu dektoni kol. He should have just said Ilan Srak and only Ilan Srak Miboyle. Ela Lav Shmamina Reshakar Shmamina. Ilan Shunotel Rishut Rabim Kotsets Kadeshi Gamal Over Verochvo. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Gamal To Un Pishtan O Chavile Zmurot. Rabbi Shimon Omer Kola Ilan Kedeged Amashkolet anyway. Mipnei Hatum Mantan Abde Benizakin Batar Umdena Dahashta Azlina. Omer Shlokish actually b'machloket shnuyav Rabbi Eliezer. Titznan ein osin chalal tachat reshut rabin borot shechinu ma'arot. Whereas Rabbi Eliezer matir b'chdei shetei agalam alechet tuna avanim today. Rabbi Yochanan Omer, nah, filu teim rabanan. If you're talking about a dark space underground, then zimne de mafkit v'lavadayte. Aval hacha, kama kakayetzli, even according to the rabanan. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Gamal Ton Pishtam O Chavile Zmurot Iboilu. Shiur the Rabbi Yehuda Nafish? Or do you shiur the Rabbanan Nafish? Pshita the Shiur the Rabbanan Nafish. These are Gadak the Shiur the Rabbi Yehuda Nafish. What in the world would Rabbanan do with Shiur the Rabbi Yehuda Echiyavit? You can make the same argument, Elamai. Shiur the Rabbanan Nafish. What's Rabbi Yehuda going to do with Shiur the Rabbanan Mayavit? Well, after the Gokhin Vecholif today. Rabbi Shimon Omer Kola Ilan Keneged Amashkolet Mipnei Hatuma Tana. When we say Mipnei Hatuma, we mean Mipnei Oel Hatuma. Pshita, it says that Mipnei Hatuma Tana. No. Imimat Nitina Avamina Dilma Maite Orev Tuma Veshadiata. In which case it would be Sagi Bedachluli Bealma, or like Tosas Sagi Bedachlil Bealma. Kamash Malan Hardman Alach Loyach Porn.